Okay, so we begin tonight in Titus. I hope last week you guys enjoyed our final overview of 1 John. You guys all did a great job in your little groups. So again, reminder to every once in a while I'll be reading through 1 John just to remind ourselves of what we study. So Titus chapter 1, starting in verse 1, and we'll read at verse 3, concentrate on verse 1. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifested His word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. So here we have Paul is obviously the author of this epistle. This is called one of his letters. He has a couple letters to Timothy, his son in the faith, and Titus is also considered one of his sons in the faith. This is considered a pastoral epistle. Okay, Paul. Now we all should know about Paul, right? What was his former name? Saul, right? And anyone know what Saul used to do?
Kill Christians.
Okay, he persecuted Christians, even would kill them. In fact, when he had his experience with God, what was he on his way to do? Persecute and kill Christians, right? He gets knocked off his horse and he's blinded, right? Because before time began, God had a plan for Saul to become Paul and to preach to the Gentiles, right? Without that, without God's plan, Gentiles have no hope, right? Because before, it was just for the Jews, right? So God used Paul to preach to the Gentiles to bring them salvation. So we all know the story of Paul. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle. Now, a bondservant was the lowliest of the servants. Okay, you had servants and then you had levels of servants. Bondservant was like lowliest of the servants. Bondservant, a slave, one who is in a permanent relation of servitude to another, his will being altogether consumed in the will of the other. Spoken of voluntary service, a servant implying obedience and devotion. Spoken of the true followers and worshipers of God, a servant, a bondservant of God, either of agents sent from God as Moses or prophets, or simply of the worshipers of God and ministers for Christ. So now, does that mean that just certain Christians are bondservants or servants, slaves of God? Or do you think all children of God, all Christians, should be slaves to Christ, bondservants of God? And the answer is yes. That we are free from sin, but now slaves to righteousness. Christ came as what? As a servant. And we are to be like-minded and follow His example. And it's an honor, privilege, that we can be a bondservant of God. And so I want to read this definition one more time. A slave, one who is in a permanent relation of servitude to another. So we're in a permanent relation to God. His will being altogether consumed in the will of God. Spoken of voluntary service, a servant implying obedience and devotion. Spoken of the true followers and worshipers of God, a servant of God, either of agents sent from God as Moses or prophets, or simply of the worshipers of God and the ministers of Christ. Romans 1:1, Paul says again, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Galatians 1:10, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Philippians 1:1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ who are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. And Isaiah 43:10, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. So here we see a few examples of Isaiah, whom God has chosen to be his servant. We know the story of Moses and Paul. And the same goes for the rest of us. All of us are called to be his servants, his slaves. And it's not in the negative here. Again, would we rather still be a slave to sin or slaves to righteousness? A bondservant for the name of Christ? Well, that's an easy choice to make. Especially when we realize that we've been freed from our slave, from being a slave to sin, and knowing what comes along with being a slave to sin. We, family, have the honor and privilege of being a bondservant for Almighty God. That's an honor. And that's something that we should think about. That, hey, I am Brandon, or I am Elijah, I am Dylan, I am Emma, Mariah, Sam. I am a bondservant of Jesus Christ. I am a servant of the Almighty God. What an amazing place to be in, amen? A bondservant for God. So he starts off here, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle. Okay? An apostle. The Lord chose the term to indicate the distinctive relation of the 12 apostles whom he chose to be his witnesses. Because in classical Greek, the word was seldom used. Therefore, it designates the office as instituted by Christ to witness of him before the world. It also designates the authority which those called to this office possess. Okay? So, an apostle. Now, this is an area where false teachers can come into play because, eyes up here please, there are out there some who claim to be apostles. Okay? There are no more apostles. There were only the ones that Christ chose. Okay? And so that has ceased. There are no more apostles. So if anyone told you, hey, I'm Apostle Bill, or I'm Apostle John, or I'm Apostle Katie, okay, right away, flee. Run for your lives. There are no more apostles. Okay? Again, the Lord chose the term to indicate the distinctive relation of the 12 apostles whom he chose to be his witnesses. Okay? Because in classical Greek, the word was seldom used. Therefore, it designates the office as instituted by Christ. Okay? It's instituted by Christ to witness of him before the world. It also designates the authority which those called to this office possess. Okay? So, the apostles whom he chose, it came with a position of authority. Okay? It was the distinctive name of the 12 originally, or the 11 later, with whom Paul himself was reckoned. We know, the experience that Paul had with Christ, thus him being appointed as an apostle. Okay? 1 Corinthians 15:7 and 10 says this. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. So he's speaking of here not only the grace for salvation, but the grace and in the position that he had as being an apostle to preach, to proclaim Christ. He was the last apostle appointed. There was also Matthias, if you remember. Okay, but actually that's when Matthias is appointed, they cast lots and picked Matthias to replace Judas. But then no more do you even hear of Matthias. Okay, but Paul, we know, writes most of the New Testament, right? Okay, so again, his apostleship appointed by Christ. There are no more. Right? So again, if ever someone tells you, I am apostle so-and-so, say, now wait a minute, let's look to Scripture. Did you have a first-hand encounter with Christ? Did you see Him? Did He designate you to be an apostle? And if so, show me in Scripture. Right? Okay. So Paul, a bondservant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. Okay? The faith of, or in the gospel. Gospel faith, meaning faith in the truth. And there only is one truth. Who is that? God. And how does He show Himself, reveal Himself to us? Through His Word. Okay? So the faith of, or in the gospel. Gospel faith, meaning faith in the truth, in the gospel, used in an absolute sense with the same meaning, namely Christian faith, saving faith, a firm and confiding belief in Jesus and His gospel. You see, just like we talked about in 1 John, the same thing applies. There are many who call themselves Christians. The percentage of America is like 85% of Americans say that they're Christians. But do we think that to be absolute and true? No. Look at the morals of our country. And the other sad thing is, these people, this 85 percentile, most of them probably go to church somewhere. So that's a scary thing. We have many people in our country who go to church who are really not Christians. What churches do you think they're going to? Well, the seeker-friendly, where there's no accountability, where you can't say sin or hell, where you can't confront them in their sins. You just make them feel comfortable and tries not to cause any dissension with them. Just all about ooey-gooey feelings and make them feel good. Little do they know they're not even true Christians. And so what this is here, according to the faith, true faith, in the absolute sense, meaning a firm and confiding belief in Jesus. I truly believe in Jesus and who He says He is, that He came in the flesh and He died for my sins and He's freed me. I have a true faith in that. I don't just confess it, but with all my heart I believe it and I live it. And I believe in the gospel and its authority. I believe that Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ, a bondservant of God. So, Paul, a bondservant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. So, it's not because you had faith and you became elect. It's not because he had faith and became an apostle. He became an apostle because he was elect to do so. We have salvation because we are elect. We have faith because we were elect. Not our faith made us elect. You understand the difference? Our faith didn't then make us elect. We were elected and chosen by God, which then gave us faith. Okay? According to the faith of God's elect. Albert Barnes writes this. The meaning of the word rendered here, according to, is probably with reference to, that is, he was appointed to be an apostle with respect to the faith of those whom God has chosen. Now, listen, okay, this might be a little confusing, but I'm going to try my best to explain it, okay? He was appointed to be an apostle, Paul, with respect to the faith of those whom God had chosen, or in order that they might be led to believe the gospel. God had chosen them to salvation, but He intended that it should be in connection with their believing. And in order to that, he had appointed Paul to be an apostle, that he might go and make known to them the gospel, the Gentiles. It is the purpose of God to save his people, to those whom he had chose. But he does not mean to save them as infidels or unbelievers. He intends that they shall be believers first, and hence he sends his ministers that they may become such. Okay, what are we born? Sinners. We're all of us, every single person born, is born enslaved to a sin with no chance or no hope of freeing or saving himself. What does Jesus say in John 6 when he's talking about eating of his flesh and drinking of his blood? But he's not, and the people flee. They say, hey, we can't handle this. We're gone. We're not following you anymore. And he's talking about really salvation. And so the 12 apostles ask, who then can be saved? And his answer is, with man, this is impossible. With man, you cannot be saved. You cannot save yourself. There's absolutely nothing that we can do to save ourselves. But with God, all things are possible. Okay, so the Gentiles here, including us, we're born sinners. Okay, so what does that have to do with Paul being an apostle? Think here, okay? Faith comes through what? Through hearing. What was Paul's calling? To be an apostle. To do what? To do what? Preach the word. Preach Christ. To who? The Gentiles. So even though they were chosen before the foundation of the world, how did it come about? Well, Paul, before the foundations of the world, was made to be an apostle. Where did it come about? Well, he was knocked off his donkey. He was blinded. Lord, Lord, is that you? What do you want me to do? Well, Paul, your name is now Paul. You're going to go and preach. Well, wait a minute. I persecuted Christians. I killed Christians. You are now my servant. You are an apostle. You're going to go preach the good news to the Gentiles. And so the Gentiles now are hearing the good news. So listen, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. Is it making a little more sense now? So yes, we're chosen before the foundations of the world, before he even made the heavens or the earth or us. He chose us for salvation. But how does he bring it about? Well, through ministers, through Paul being an apostle and bringing this message, this good news, this truth to the Gentiles. And we have it now here to read. And then God uses this to bring about our salvation. I hope this is really hard to understand, but I hope like the light's coming on, because when I was studying, I was like, wow, that is really cool. Yes, I mean, I was chose. He chose me from before the foundations of the world. But I was born a sinner. So how does that take place? Well, through the word being preached. And that I could hear it. And that he could help me hear it spiritually. And that he could open my eyes to see that I'm a sinner. So as I read this again, put it in perspective. Okay. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. Okay. And the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness. Okay. Acknowledgement of the truth. Acknowledgement in the Greek is epignosis. Epignosis. And it is more extensive than the Greek word gnosis, which means to know. It's much more deep, okay? Because it expresses a more thorough participation in the acquiring of knowledge on the part of the learner. In the New Testament, it often refers to knowledge, which very powerfully influences the form of religious life, how we live, how we're supposed to live. What should I, as a Christian, do? How should I talk? How should I act? How should I think? Who should I associate with? What type of person should I marry? In other words, how do I live my life? As Elijah lived, the piety of one's life. Okay? A knowledge laying claim to personal involvement. Okay? A knowledge, okay, laying claim to personal involvement. The things that we do. Okay, so let's read this again. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth. Okay, the acknowledgement of the truth. Okay, so now I've heard and I believe and I'm saved. I'm a child of God. Now what do I do? I truly believe this. And I believe that this is truth. And I acknowledge it. And again, it's much more than just to know about it, but to spend much time to understand it so that you can then live it. You understand the difference? It's much different than just, oh yeah, I know. I know about it. No, but I know it. So much that I live it. Okay? Acknowledgement of the truth. I know the truth. Now I can live the truth. I can be obedient to the truth. I know how I ought to talk. I know how I ought to dress. I know how I ought to act. I know who I should be friends with and not be friends with. I know the type of person that I should marry and shouldn't marry. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which accords with godly means. Which accords with godliness. Okay? Again, that means that's our lifestyle. To know the truth, to know it so well that then we can go out and know how to live life as a Christian. Yes, I was chosen for some reason. He chose to save an awful person like me for salvation. And then to bring it about, he brings about ministers and apostles in these times to preach Christ and preach these great truths that we can hear them. And God bringing about our salvation in our lifetime. Teaching us these great truths. And giving us His holy word that we can know and acknowledge the truth. So I ask here tonight, do we acknowledge the truth? Do we know the truth? Do we know the truth, which then accords with godliness, which then, in other words, reflects in our life? Do we acknowledge the truth, which leads to godliness? Or are we just the other Greek word, gnosis, which is, yeah, just to know? Yeah, I know about that guy, Jesus. I know about the Bible. Yeah, he made the earth or something like that. Or something like, you know, he sent his son to die on the cross. You know, I know. Or do I epignosis? Do I really acknowledge the truth? And by my acknowledging the truth, it is seen and evident by how I live. If I am being godly, G-O-D-L-I, or Y, sorry, Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? Do we, as so-called Christians, do we acknowledge the truth? This is what Paul, the apostle, the bondservant of God, proclaimed to the Gentiles. Listen, there was no hope for Gentiles. They were considered the dogs, scumbags. And so it's very essential for us today that Paul, who was a sinner, who killed Christians and beat them, persecuted them, but yet before the foundations of the world, God chose Paul for this very thing. And for the elect, it's relevant because through Paul preaching to the Gentiles, it brings about in our lifetime and in their lifetime salvation. Why? Because he preached the good news that we could hear it and have life. So do we acknowledge or have an acknowledgement of the truth? As you leave here tonight, ask yourself this week, do I acknowledge the truth, which then brings godliness? Or I just know and I really don't conform to him, or I don't act like him, I don't have him as my example, I just know about him. Acknowledge the truth, which leads to godliness, and how true children of the faith, the true chosen ones, should act, should talk, should think, should dress, should serve. This applies to everything in our life. Because this truth is how he brought us to him. That is the faith. And so where is your acknowledgement? Is it in the truth? Where God is the only real thing? The only genuine one? Do we acknowledge that truth? And is that evident in our life? Ponder that this week as you guys read through Titus. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, what an amazing start here in Titus. Yes, this can be overwhelming and hard to understand, but Lord, we ask for wisdom. We ask, we cry out, Lord, give us an understanding of your precious Bible, of your holy word, that we can understand and know you more. And I thank you, oh God, for the time that I spent in studying this one verse, the things that I have learned. That, yeah, you, for some reason you chose a scumbag like me, a rotten, dirty sinner who is deserving of death and would be fair to condemn me. You chose me before the foundations of the world. And yet you bring about this salvation through Paul preaching to the Gentiles and appointing elders throughout the history of time and ministers who would faithfully preach your word to the Gentiles and to throughout all the world, that we can hear the good news and bring about that salvation in our lifetime. What an amazing thing that is to stop and ponder and think about. And Father, I pray for all of us here that we would truly have this true acknowledgement of the truth. Not just to know, but acknowledgement which then accords with godliness. Because you have chosen us for salvation, because we have heard your word presented to us, and a faith, a gift that you have given to us to believe in you, to show us that we are lousy sinners deserving of death in need of a Savior. Lord, help us to truly acknowledge this good news, this great truth, and let this great truth lead to godly living. Help us to read more and more of your word so that as children of God, that we would know how we ought to act. That we would know how to talk and to edify one another, to encourage each other with our words. And as children of God, that we would know how to even think, because we're always bombarded with sinful thoughts. We do more sinful things in our mind than we would actually carry out in the flesh. But it is all still sin. And so, Lord, renew our minds, we pray, through the washing of your word. Help us to acknowledge that truth which leads to godly talking and thinking and acting. Guide us through your truth on who we ought to associate with, we pray, O God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.